Instead, she saw Dell, standing at the window looking to her mind like the loneliest man in the world. Which didn't fit, she knew. She never thought of Dell as lonely. He knew everyone, and had a life so full of people she often wondered why he didn't run off somewhere just for a breath of solitude. But now he seemed entirely alone, completely separate, and quietly sad. Part of her wanted to go to him, put her arms around him and comfort away whatever put that look on his face. Instead, she went into survival mode and started to back out of the room. He turned, saw her.
"Sorry, I didn't know you were here. Do you need Parker?"
"No, I saw Parker upstairs."
He lifted his eyebrows at her bare feet.
"I guess all that dancing's hard on the feet."
"Hmm? Oh, not that much dancing, but when it comes at the end of a day like this, it's cumulative."
Since he was here and so was she, Laurel decided to get it over with and apologize.
"I've only got a few, but since you're here, I want to say I was over the line the other night. I shouldn't have jumped all over you like that."
Bad choice of words, she thought.
"I understand you feel a certain sense of duty," she decided, though the word wanted to stick in her throat. "I wish you wouldn't, and I can't help being irritated by it any more than you can help feeling it, so it's pointless to fight about it."
"Uh-huh."
"If that's the best you can do, I'm just going to consider it bygones."
He lifted a finger as he took another sip of beer and watched her.
"Not quite. I'm wondering why your irritation took the particular form it did."
"Look, you were being you, and it got under my skin, so I said some things I shouldn't have said, the way people do when they're irritated."
"I'm not talking about what you said so much as what you did."
"It's all of a piece. I was mad. I'm sorry. Take it or leave it."
Now he smiled, and she felt the low burn of temper in her belly.
"You've been mad at me before. You never kissed me like that."
"It's like my feet."
"Sorry?"
"It's cumulative. It's annoying when you put on the Dell Knows Best act, and since that's been going on for years, the annoyance built up, and so it was to prove a point."
"What was the point? I think I missed it."
"I don't know why you're making such a big deal out of it."
She felt the temper rising, just like the heat of embarrassment in her cheeks.
"We're adults. It was just a kiss and a nonviolent alternative to punching you in the mouth, which I wish I'd done instead."
"Okay. To be clear, you were irritated with me, said irritation having built up over the course of years, and your actions were an alternative to punching me in the face. Does that sum it up?"
"Yes, counselor, that's close enough. Do you want me to get a Bible and swear on it? Jesus, Dell."
She walked to the fridge, yanked it open to grab a bottle of water. She could probably think of a man who pissed her off more, but right at the moment, Delaney Brown headed the list. With an angry twist of the wrist, she unscrewed the cap on the bottle as she turned, and bumped right into him.
"Cut it out."
She wouldn't have called it panic, but her temper took on a different edge.
"You opened the door. The metaphorical one as well."
He gestured to the open refrigerator.
"I bet you're irritated now, too."
"Yes, I'm irritated now."
"Good. Since we're on the same page and I know how it works."
He gripped her by the shoulders and hauled her up to the toes of her bare feet.
"Don't even
It was as far as she got before her brain fizzled. The heat, mouth to mouth, opposed to the cold air blasting at her back. She felt trapped between the ice and the fire, helpless to move in either direction as he kept her poised on that thin, shaky line. Then his hand slid down, found her waist, and the kiss softened into slow, melting lust. Her body went pliant, her mind drowsy as he drew her just a little closer. The sound he heard, a soft, low purr in her throat, didn't signal anger but surrender. The surprise of her, like a gift held for years, opened. He wanted to carefully, painstakingly fold aside those layers and find more. She shifted, reached, and the icy water in the bottle splashed them both. He eased back, glanced down at his wet shirt and hers.
"Oops."
Her eyes, dazed and dark, blinked. Even as he grinned, she scrambled away. She gestured with the bottle, the movement jerky enough that more water sloshed out.
Okay, so we're even. I have to get back. I have to."
She wiped at her wet shirt.
"Crap."
She turned, fled.
"Hey, you forgot your shoes." Oh, well.
He shut the refrigerator, then picked up the beer he'd set on the counter. Funny, he thought as he leaned back against the counter in the quiet kitchen. He felt better. In fact, he felt pretty damn good. He studied the shoes she'd left on the floor. Sexy, he mused, especially when paired with the professional suit she'd worn. He wondered if it had been a deliberate combination or an impulse. And wasn't it a little strange to be thinking about her shoes? But since he was... Amused at himself, he opened the drawer for a notepad. They were even, he thought as he scribbled a note. He wasn't interested in even. In the morning, Laurel opted for a swim instead of a workout. She told herself she just wanted a change, but had to admit the change made it possible to avoid Parker until she'd figured out what to say, or if she should say anything. Probably best to leave it alone, she told herself as she kicked off the side for another lap. Nothing to tell, really. Dell's competitive streak was a mile wide. She'd kissed him, so he'd kissed her back. Double. That was his way. He'd decided to put her in her place. It was just like him. And that grin? She kicked off harder for another lap. That stupid, smug, superior grin? That was just like him, too. Idiot man. It was ridiculous to believe she had feelings for him. She'd just lost her mind for a minute. Or a decade or so. But who's counting? She demanded. She was back. She was fine. Situation normal. When she hit the side again, she closed her eyes and let herself sink. After the punishing lapse, the sensation of weightlessness felt perfect. Just drifting, she thought, just as she was in her personal life. And that was fine. That was good, really. She didn't need form and function and structure in every area of her life. It was good to be free to do what she wanted when the workday was done, or like this, before it began. No one to answer to but herself. She didn't need everything set and settled. She didn't even want it to be. Dell, or the thing with Dell, was just a bump on the road. All smoothed out now, she thought. All better. She skimmed back her hair as she reached for the ladder, then yelped as Parker stepped forward with a towel.
God, you scared me! I didn't know you were out here!
That makes two of us on the scared me. For a minute I wondered if I'd have to jump in and pull you out.
She took the towel.
I was just drifting. Change of pace from running at full speed the last few days.
We don't drift enough, that's what I think. Okay, I'll put drifting on the list.
Laughing, Laurel wrapped the towel around her waist.
You would. You're dressed. What time is it?
About 8. I take it you were drifting for a while.
I guess. Busy night.
It was.
Did you see Dell? Why? Yes, but why?
Because he was here, and for a while you were AWOL.
I wasn't AWOL, Captain. I just took a break.
And changed your shirt. Something like guilt began to inch up her spine.
I spilled something on it. What is this?
Curiosity. Parker held out an envelope. This was on the kitchen counter. Mrs. G gave it to me to give to you.
Well, why didn't you just... Oh.
Laurel stopped when she recognized Dell's handwriting.
Don't you want to know what it says?
I do.
Parker stood, blocking the way and smiling brightly. The polite thing would be for me to go back inside, give you privacy when you read it, but I'm just not that mature.
It's nothing, fine.
Feeling foolish, Laurel opened the envelope.
You might think this is over, but you'd be wrong. I've taken your shoes hostage. Contact me within 48 hours, or the Pradas get it.
Laurel made a sound caught between a laugh and a curse as Parker read over her shoulder.
He took your shoes?
Apparently. What am I supposed to do about this?
Laurel waved the note.
I'm drifting. I decided I wanted to drift, and now he's playing games. I just bought those shoes.
How did he get your shoes?
It was nothing like that. I took them off, and then he was there, and I left them after... Nothing. It was sort of tit-for-tat.
Parker nodded.
Your tit or his tat?
Neither of those, gutter brain. I apologized for going off on him, but that's not enough for Dell, and he started cross-examining me. One thing led to another in the refrigerator. It's hard to explain.
Obviously.
He's just being a smartass. He can keep the damn shoes.
Really?
Eyes placid, Parker smiled.
Because that would say to me, and probably him, that you're afraid to deal with it.
Him. Any of it. I'm not afraid, and don't play that card with me.
Laurel yanked off the towel to rub it furiously over her hair.
I just don't want to stir anything up.
Because it's hard to drift when things are stirred up.
Yes. Anyway, I have other shoes. I have better shoes. I'm not going to give him the satisfaction of drawing me into his silly game.
Parker smiled again. Boys are so lame.
Laurel rolled her eyes.
He's your brother, she muttered, and strode back toward the house.
Yes, he is.
And she wondered how long it would take her best friend to crack.
More than 24, Parker decided. Less than 48.
The BlackBerry in her pocket rang. She glanced at the display as she strolled across the lawn.
Good morning, Sybil. What can I do for you?
Chapter 6. There was always a way to gather information. To Parker's mind, information wasn't just power. It led the way to efficiency, and in her world, efficiency ruled them all. To get anything done well and, yes, efficiently, you first lined up the details and facts, and, whenever possible, multitasked. The first order of business, roughly 24 hours into the hostage situation, was to tap Dell for a ride. It was a simple matter to arrange, particularly since she'd opted to use his mechanic for the regular maintenance check on her car. Malcolm Cavanaugh might have been rough around the edges with a hefty dose of cocky, but he excelled at his work, and that mattered most. It didn't hurt that he was a friend of Dell's. With a weekend packed with events, starting with a rehearsal that evening, she could honestly tell Dell she needed the lift, as none of her partners could spare the time. It didn't matter that she could have called half a dozen other people, or a cab for that matter, she thought as she freshened her lipstick. The favor would make Dell feel like Big Brother, a role he enjoyed, and would give her the opportunity to pump him for information since Laurel had clammed up. She checked the contents of her bag, then the schedule on her BlackBerry. Talk to Dell. Pick up car. Meet clients for lunch. Pick up dry cleaning, go to market, return by 4:30 to prep for rehearsal. The sublists for the meeting, the items to be picked up at the cleaners and the market, ranged under each entry. She did a quick turn in the mirror. The clients were major, and as they'd booked lunch at their country club, presenting the correct appearance mattered. The summer dress in soft yellow struck a nice balance, she thought, between casual and professional. Understated jewelry, but the client's hawk-eyed mother would recognize the real deal, which would carry some weight. She'd left her hair down and loose for a change. Girl lunch, friendly. Nothing flashy, nothing too eye-catching. The wedding planner never, never outshone the bride. Satisfied, she added a tissue-thin white sweater to combat the air conditioning if the clients chose to eat inside the club. A full 10 minutes before her brother's scheduled arrival time, she walked downstairs. The house she loved seemed so quiet, so big in the middle of the morning with no clients scheduled, no events demanding her time and attention. Emma's flowers perfumed the air in massive arrangements or pretty little displays, and some of Mac's photos mixed with the art on the walls. Still, she'd changed little here, moving only the most personal items to her private quarters or into Laurel's. But it remained very much a home, and a happy place, one that had witnessed hundreds of celebrations. And arguments, she thought as she adjusted the placement of a bowl. Laughter, tears, drama, and foolishness. She couldn't remember ever being lonely in this house, or wishing to be somewhere else. She checked her watch, gauged her time, and decided to drop in on Laurel. At the counter, Laurel kneaded a round of fondant. Nearby, 6 baked tears sat waiting on their racks. Since she'd chosen a morning talk show instead of music, Parker understood Laurel was willing to be distracted.
"I'm heading out," Parker announced. "Need anything?"
Laurel glanced over.
"Great color on you."
"Thanks. It makes me feel sunny."
"And look the same." "I could use about 5 pounds of strawberries," she added. "Really fresh. I don't want all of them completely red and ripe. Mix it up. It'll save me from running out this afternoon."
"No problem." Parker took out her BlackBerry to key it into her list. "I'm going to the market anyway, after the lunch meeting. Jessica Seaman and her mother."
"Right."
Laurel stopped kneading to cross the fingers of both hands. "MOB wants to discuss menu and music. That one's for tomorrow night?" she asked as Laurel dusted her work surface with cornstarch.
"Yeah. 6 layers, fondant with a pleated skirt and gum-paste orchids to match the bride's signature flower. She rolled out the first sheet of fondant. Wait, I thought your car was in the shop.
It is, and it's ready. Dell's going to drop me off at the mechanics.
Oh.
Frowning, either over Dell or the air bubbles she spotted, Laurel pricked the tiny bubbles with a straight pin.
Any message? For him or your shoes?
Funny.
Working quickly, Laurel lifted the fondant with both hands and laid it over the first tier.
You could tell him to stop being so asinine and give them back.
Okay.
No, don't say anything.
She shrugged, then smoothed the top and sides, pushing out more air bubbles as she worked.
I don't need the shoes. I've already forgotten them.
Sure.
Laurel picked up a pizza cutter, shook it at Parker.
I know your games, Brown. You're trying to get me worked up, so I'll call him about it. It won't work.
Okay.
Parker smiled easily while Laurel ran the cutter around the base of the cake to cut away the excess fondant.
He'll be here in a minute. I'll come back with strawberries.
Different sizes, different shades, Laurel called out.
Got it.
She strolled back to the front of the house, pleased to know she'd done just what she'd set out to do. Laurel would work the rest of the day with Dell and the shoes on her mind. She stepped outside, slipped on her sunglasses, and walked down the path just as Dell pulled up.
Right on time,
he said.
You too.
We're Browns. We're obsessed with punctuality.
I consider it a virtue and a skill. Thanks for doing this, Dell.
Easy enough. I was going to swing by and meet with a client, then hook up with Jack for lunch. Worked out.
Multitasking, the key to all. New shoes? She asked.
No.
He glanced over at her as he made the turn out of the drive.
Why?
Oh, I heard you recently acquired some fabulous new shoes.
Right.
The corner of his mouth twitched in amusement.
They're not the right size. Plus, walking around in heels makes my toes cramp.
She poked him in the arm with her finger.
Taking Laurel's shoes. When are you going to stop being 12?
Never.
He laid a hand over his heart as if to swear it.
Is she pissed or amused?
Both and neither. I'd say she's confused.
Then mission accomplished.
That's so typical. Why do you want to confuse her?
She started it.
She tipped down her sunglasses to peer at him over the tops.
I think you just regressed to the age of 8. Started what?
He shot her another look.
I may be 8, but I know you and your pack. You know what she started, and now you're trying to wheedle out my side of it.
I don't have to wheedle, and you don't have to tell me.
Sorry, she added when her phone rang. Shauna, hi. I just left Laurel in the kitchen where she was finishing your cake. It's going to be gorgeous.
All right.
Uh-huh.
No, don't worry. I'll call my travel agent.
That was resourceful. Do you have his new flight number?
Yes.
As she spoke, she took out a pad and pen and repeated the information as she noted it down. I'll check shortly just to make sure it's on schedule, and I'll arrange for a car to pick him up and bring him to rehearsal.
No, it won't be a problem. You just leave it to me and we'll see you tonight.
Relax, everything's under control. Go, get your nails done and don't worry about a thing.
Yes, me too.
Bye.
BM's flight canceled. He's rerouted, she said as she put the pad away. He'll be a little late tonight.
I was worried for a minute.
Laurel's right. You are a smart ass.
Is that what she said?
With a careless shrug, Parker tucked her BlackBerry away.
Okay. Your torture methods are efficient and cruel. She changed the playing field, so I'm trying to figure out if I should suit up. I'm not sure it's a good idea, but... well, it's an idea. Comments?
I think you're both going to try to be in charge, so you'll either fight like rabid dogs or fall wildly in love. Possibly both, as you're each starting out with strong and long-term feelings for and about each other. And those feelings will shift and change if you suit up.
I'm not looking to fight or fall wildly. I'm just exploring a potential new dynamic. Is it weird for you?
Interesting, she thought. They'd both asked her the same question.
I don't know yet.
When she gets in touch with you about the shoes, which she will, even though she thinks she won't, don't gloat.
Only on the inside.
He turned into the parking lot of the garage.
She's going to get in touch?
She really likes those shoes.
Plus, she'll decide not getting in touch is letting you win. She leaned over, kissed his cheek.
Thanks for the lift.
I can wait for you. Mal's around somewhere, so I can hang out with him until you're set.
That's okay.
If Del talked to Malcolm, then Malcolm would know she was there, and he'd certainly have something to say. She'd prefer to avoid it, and him.
I called ahead so they know I'm coming.
Of course you did. Well, tell Mal I'll see him at poker night.
Come to dinner next week.
She stepped out of the car.
We'll do a big family dinner. I'll check everyone's schedule and let you know what night's best if you're open.
I can be open. Hey, Parker. You look pretty.
She smiled. Just keep your eyes off my shoes. She shut the door on his laugh and walked into the office. The frazzled woman with the orange hair and green-framed cheaters sat behind the counter and gave Parker a little come-ahead as she talked on the phone. A few discreet inquiries had given Parker the info that the woman was Malcolm's mother. Not that it mattered, particularly. She just liked to know who she was dealing with.
That's right, tomorrow afternoon, after 2. Look, buddy, the park just got here and the boy's only got 2 hands.
She rolled sharp green eyes, the same shade as her son's, at Parker while she chugged from a bottle of Dr. Pepper.
Do you want it fast or do you want it right? He told you it'd take a day once the park showed up. I heard him myself. Maybe you ought to buy American. If it's ready sooner, I'll call you. Best I can do. Yeah, you have a real good day. Dickhead, she added when she'd hung up. Everybody thinks the world revolves around them, she said to Parker. Everybody's the center of the freaking universe.
Then she sighed. Then she smiled. A singularly sweet smile.
You look real fresh and pretty.
Thank you. I'm meeting a client.
I got your bill right here. Got it together and printed it out after you called. I'm getting the hang of this damn computer.
Parker remembered their first meeting and Mrs. Cavanaugh's frustration.
They do save time once you figure out the program.
Well, it's only taking me half again as long as it would to just write it out, rather than 3 times that, like it used to. Here you go.
Great.
Parker stepped up to look it over.
I knew your ma a little.
Oh?
You got the look of her some, now that I put it together. She was a real lady. The kind that doesn't have to act snooty to be one.
She'd have appreciated that exact description. Satisfied with the bill, Parker took out her credit card.
I think you know Maureen Grady, too. She's run the house and us, as long as I can remember.
Yeah, I know her some. I guess if you're around Greenwich long enough, you know, most everybody. My boy plays poker with your brother.
He does, Parker agreed, and signed the credit slip. In fact, Del dropped me off. He said to tell Malcolm he'd see him on poker night.
There, she thought. Duty discharged.
You can tell him yourself, she said
as Malcolm walked in from the side garage door, wiping his hands on a red bandana.
Ma, I need you to...
He paused, slowly smiled.
Hey, nice.
Miss Brown here's just picking up her car.
His mother took the keys, and to Parker's dismay, tossed them to Malcolm, who caught them one-handed.
Walk her on out there.
It's not necessary, I just...
Part of the service.
Mal walked to the front door of the office, held it open.
Thanks, Mrs. Cavanaugh. It was nice to see you again.
Come back any time.
Really, Parker began once they were outside. I'm kind of in a hurry, so...
Got a date?
A meeting.
Shame to waste that dress on business, but we'll get you there.
He smelled of his work, which wasn't nearly as unpleasant as she'd assumed it would be. His jeans had a hole in the knee and grease stains on the thigh. She wondered if he wore a black T-shirt because it wouldn't show the stains. His hair was nearly as dark and left to fall any way it chose around his sharply defined face. He hadn't shaved, she noted, but the result made him look more dangerous than scruffy.
You've got a nice ride.
He jingled her keys in his hand, his eyes on her face when they reached her car.
And you take care of it. We detailed it on us since it's your first service, but I couldn't have charged you anyway. You keep your baby clean and polished.
Tools work better when they're taken care of.
Words to live by. Most people don't. So, what's after the meeting?
Sorry? Oh, errands and work.
You ever not have meetings, errands, and work?
Rarely.
She knew when a man was hitting on her, but couldn't remember the last time it had flustered her.
I really need those keys. The car won't start without them.
He dropped them into her open palm.
If you hit one of those rare times, give me a call. I'll take you out on my ride.
While she tried to think of a response, he jerked a thumb. She followed the direction to a big, burly, gleaming motorcycle.
I don't think so. I really don't think so.
He only smiled.
If you change your mind, you know how to reach me.
He waited a beat while she got into the car.
It's the first time I've seen you with your hair down. Goes with the dress.
Jesus, Parker, she thought. What has tied your tongue into a knot?
Thanks for the work.
Back at you.
She shut the door, turned the key, and with a genuine sense of relief drove away. The man, she decided, just threw her off balance. It was silly, Laurel told herself, and had to be handled. Ignoring Dell and his childish game had seemed like a good idea initially, but the more she chewed on it, the more it seemed ignoring it could be construed as avoidance. That gave him the upper hand, which would never do. She kept her plan, such as it was, to herself. Since she wasn't needed at rehearsal, it limited contact with her friends and the temptation to share. She kept to her kitchen, making the cream filling and buttercream frosting for Saturday afternoon's summer strawberry cake. She checked her board and her timing, and tried not to feel guilty about sneaking out of her own house. She pulled off her apron, then cursed. She wasn't going over to Dell's to face this situation all sweaty and mussed. Cleaning up didn't equal fussing. She took the back stairs, slipped into her own wing to shower off the day. Putting makeup on wasn't fussing either. It was just basic grooming. And she liked wearing earrings. She was entitled to wear earrings and a nice top, wasn't she? It wasn't a crime to want to look her best, whatever the circumstances. Refusing to argue with herself any longer, she took the back steps again with the idea of getting out without being seen. She'd be home, she assured herself, before anyone noticed she was gone.
Where are you off to?
Busted.
Ah!
She turned to see Mrs. Grady in the kitchen garden. I just have something to do, a little something to do.
Well, I guess you'd better go do it. That's a new shirt, isn't it?
No, yes, sort of.
She hated feeling the heat of guilt creeping up the back of her neck.
There's no point in buying a shirt and not wearing it.
None at all, Mrs. Grady said placidly. Run along, then, and have fun.
I'm not going to... Never mind, I won't be long.
She circled around the house toward her car. An hour tops, then she'd...
Hi, heading out?
Oh, for Christ's sake, it was like having a community of parents. She worked up a smile for Carter.
Yeah, I just have a thing. I'm coming right back.
Okay. I'm going to beg a casserole from Mrs. G. We'll be defrosting later if you're interested.
Thanks, but I grabbed a salad before. Enjoy.
We will. You look nice.
So what?
She shook her head.
Sorry. Distracted. Gotta go.
She jumped in the car before she ran into anyone else. As she sped away, it occurred to her she should have gone to Dell's during the day when he'd be gone. She knew where the spare key was hidden, and had his alarm code, except he probably changed it regularly, as that was the safe thing to do. Still, she could have risked it, and gotten inside, found her shoes, left him a note, she thought. Now that would have been clever. Too late now. But he might not be home, she considered. He had an active social life. Friends, clients, dates. 7:30 on a pretty summer evening? Yes, he probably had a hot date. Drinks, dinner, debauchery. She could get in, find the shoes, leave him a funny note. Dear Shoenapper, we escaped and have informed the FBI. A tactical team is on the way. The Pradas. He'd laugh, she decided. He didn't like to lose. Who did? But he'd laugh. And that would be the end of that. As long as she didn't set off the alarm and end up calling him to be her attorney of record. Think positive, she advised herself, and warmed up to the new plan as she drove. And imagined it falling like a bad souffle when she spotted his car in the drive. Oh well, back to plan A. He had a great house, one she'd admired since he'd had it built. Probably too big for one man, but she understood the need for space. She knew Jack had designed it with very specific requirements from Dell. Not too traditional, but not too modern. Lots of light, lots of room. And the sprawl of Riverstone, the pitch of the triple roofs, had a kind of casual elegance that suited the owner. And she was stalling, she admitted. She got out of the car, walked straight to the front door, and rang the bell. She shifted from one foot to the other, tapped her hand on her knee. Nerves, she realized.
For God's sake, she was nervous about seeing a man she'd known her entire life. One she'd fought with and played with. They'd even been married a couple times, when Parker had nagged, bribed, or blackmailed him into playing groom in their wedding day games as kids. Now she had the jitters. That made her a wuss, she decided. She hated being a wuss. She punched the bell again, harder.
Sorry, you were so quick and I was just...
Dell, shirt open over a chest where a few drops of water glimmered, hair dark with damp, stopped, cocked his head.
And you're not the delivery guy from the China Palace.
No, and I came for... You can't get delivery out here from the China Palace.
You can if you defended the owner's son on possession and got him into a program instead of a cell.
He smiled, hooked a thumb in the pocket of the jeans he'd zipped but had yet to button.
Hi, Laurel. Come on in.
I'm not here to visit. I'm here for my shoes. Just get them and I'll be gone before your shrimp fried rice gets here.
I went for the sweet and sour pork.
Good choice. My shoes?
Come on in. We'll discuss terms.
Del, this is just absurd.
I like some absurd now and again.
To settle the matter, he grabbed her hand, pulled her inside.
So, want a beer? I picked up some Tsingtao for the Chinese.
No, I don't want a Chinese beer. I want my shoes.
Sorry. They're in an undisclosed location until the ransom terms are determined and met. Did you know they let out this thin, high-pitched scream when you twist those skinny heels?
He fisted his hands, twisted to demonstrate.
It's a little eerie.
I know you think you're being funny, and okay, you're not entirely wrong, but I've put in a really long day. I just want my shoes.
You deserve a Tsingtao after a really long day. And look, here's dinner. Why don't you go out back on the deck? It's nice out. Oh, grab a couple of beers out of the fridge on your way. Hey, Danny, how's it going?
She could argue, Laurel thought. She could even make a scene. But neither would get her the shoes until Dell was good and ready. Keeping her cool, that was the ticket, she decided, and grinding her teeth only a little, started toward the kitchen. She heard Dell and the delivery guy talking baseball as she walked away. Apparently somebody somewhere had pitched a no-hitter the night before. She turned into his spacious kitchen, washed now in the softening evening light. She knew he used the space for more than beer and takeout Chinese. He had a couple of specialties down cold. Fancy little meals designed for seducing women, and had a hand with omelets for the morning after. So she'd been told. She opened the fridge and took out a beer, and since it was there, took out one for herself. Knowing the setup here nearly as well as in her own kitchen, she opened the freezer, got out a couple of chilled pilsners, and noted a handy selection of Mrs. G's casseroles and soups in labeled containers. The woman fed the world. She was pouring the second beer when Dell came in with takeout bags.
See? I'm having a beer. I consider that terms met. When I finish the beer, I get my shoes.
His look transmitted mild pity.
I don't think you understand the situation clearly. I've got something you want, so I set the terms.
He stacked a couple of plates, napkins, then took two sets of chopsticks from a drawer.
I said I didn't want dinner.
Pot stickers.
He shook one of the bags.
You know you have a weakness.
He was right about that. Plus, anxiety combined with the scent of food stirred up her appetite. Fine, a beer and a pot sticker. She carried the beers out to the deck and to the table overlooking the lawn and gardens. The water in his pool sparkled. On the edge of its skirt stood a charming gazebo that housed a massive grill. He was known for manning it territorially when he threw a summer party where people played cutthroat bocce on the lawn and splashed in the pool. He entertained well, she mused. It must be in the genes. He came out with a tray loaded with cartons and plates. At least he'd buttoned his shirt, she noted. She wished she didn't like his looks quite so much. She'd be able to get a handle on her emotional response if she didn't find him so physically attractive. Or vice versa.
I figured I'd eat this with ESPN and some paperwork. This is better.
He put a place setting in front of her, opened cartons.
Rehearsal tonight, right?
He sat and began to take samples from every carton.
How'd it go?
Fine, I imagine. They didn't need me, so I did some prep for the weekend.
I'll be at the commitment ceremony Sunday,
he told her.
I went to college with Mitchell, and I wrote up their partnership contract.
He ate while she sat, sipping her beer.
So what's the cake?
Chocolate butter cake with white chocolate mousse filling, frosted in broad strokes with fudge frosting.
Triple threat.
They like chocolate.
All that's offset with alternate layers of red geranium blossoms on flower foam trays. Emma's making interlocking geranium hearts for the topper. Now, should I ask about your day?
No need to be bitchy.
She sighed because he was right. You stole my shoes, she pointed out, and gave in to the scent of the food.
Stole is a strong word.
They're mine. You took them without permission. She bit into a pot sticker. God, she did have a weakness.
How much are they worth to you?
They're just shoes, Dal.
Please.
He made a dismissive noise as he waved one hand.
I have a sister. I know the value you people put on footwear.
Okay. Okay, what do you want? Money? Baked goods? Household chores?
All viable options. But this is nice for a start. You should try the sweet and sour.
What, this is nice? This? She nearly choked on the beer. Like this is some kind of a date?
Two people, food, drink, pretty evening. It has date-like elements.
It's a drop-in. It's a ransom drop. It's... She stopped herself because the jitters were back. All right, let's clear the air. I feel I started something. Something-er.
Other?
He suggested. Okay, something or other. Because I was in a mood, and I acted impulsively, which caused you to reciprocate the impulse, and I see now, I certainly see, knowing you, that the we're even remark was a gauntlet thrown. You couldn't leave that alone, so you took my damn shoes, and now there's Chinese and beer and the whole dusk-falling light show, when we both know perfectly well you've never thought about me this way. He considered for a moment.
That's not accurate. An accurate statement would be, I've tried not to think about you this way.
More than a little stunned, she sat back. How do you do with that? He lifted a hand, turned it side to side. She stared at him.
Damn you, Dal.
Chapter 7.
He couldn't say it was the reaction he'd expected, but with Laurel that was often the case.
Damn me for what, exactly?
Because it's exactly the right thing to say. You're good at saying exactly the right thing, except when you say the completely wrong thing, but it's usually the right thing anyway, just that I don't want to hear it.
You should have been a lawyer.
I'm eating another pot sticker, she murmured. She'd always delighted him, he thought, except when she'd irritated him. It was probably the same thing.
Do you remember when we were all over at Emma's parents' for Cinco de Mayo?
Of course I remember. She scowled at her beer. I had too much tequila, which is only natural under the circumstances, because, hello, Cinco de Mayo.
I think that's hola.
Har har. You played Big Brother and sat with me on the front porch steps.
It's not playing Big Brother to have some mild concern for a friend in a tequila haze. But anyway...
He scooped some sweet and sour onto her plate with his chopsticks.
Earlier, Jack and I were standing around, and I was scoping the crowd the way you do.
The way you do?
Okay. I spot this blue dress with a great pair of legs, and...
He made a vague gesture that gave her a clear picture of the and.
I thought nice, very nice indeed, and made some mention of the same to Jack. He pointed out that the legs, and the rest I happened to be scoping, were yours. Gave me a hell of a jolt, I admit.
He gauged her reaction. Judged surprise led the way.
In the interest of full disclosure, I also admit it wasn't the first time. So, whether or not it was the right thing to say, it was accurate.
I'm not a pair of legs or an and.
No, but they're still very nice. You're a beautiful woman, that's also accurate. Some have a weakness for pot stickers, some for beautiful women.
She looked past him, toward the deepening shadows. That should piss me off.
You're also one of my oldest and most important friends.
Teasing no longer colored his tone.
That matters a lot.
It does. She pushed her plate away before she made herself sick.
I think it's also accurate to say something unexpected, or at least surprising, hit when you acted on impulse the other night.
As dusk thickened, his garden and patio lights sent out a soft glow, and in the distance a loon's eerie wail echoed. It struck him as oddly romantic, and somehow suitable. You're being awfully delicate about it.
Well, it's a first date,
he said, and made her laugh.
I just came for the shoes.
No, you didn't.
She let out a breath. Maybe not, but I had this plan, banking on you being out on an actual date where I'd sneak in, take back my shoes, and leave you a clever note.
Then you'd have missed all this. So would I.
There you go again, she murmured. I think part of my thing here is a direct result of my sexual moratorium. Amused, he tipped up his beer.
How's that going for you?
All too well. I'm probably a little more... what's the delicate term? Itchy. More itchy than usual these days.
In the spirit of friendship, I could take you upstairs and help you scratch that itch, but that doesn't really work for me.
She started to say she could scratch her own itch, thanks all the same, but decided that was too much information, even between friends. So she shrugged instead.
It's not like Jack and Emma, he said.
Jack and Emma aren't scratching an itch, they're...
Simmer down, quick draw,
he said mildly.
That's not what I meant. They were friends, our friends, but they became friends, what, 10 or 12 years ago? That's a long time, but you and I, it's basically our whole lives. We're not just friends, we're family. Not in an illegal and incestuous way that makes this conversation creepy, but family.
Tribal, he decided.
We're from the same tribe, you could say.
Tribal. She tried it out. You have been thinking about this, and I can't disagree with you about any of that.
Which is a nice change. We're talking about changes, and not just for us, but for, well, the tribe.
I bet you get to be chief. With her elbow on the table, she propped her chin on her hand. You always get to be chief.
You can be chief if you can beat me in arm wrestling.
She was strong. She prided herself on it. But she also knew her limits. And being tribal chief, you've already decided how this should go.
I have what you could call an outline. What would be a draft of an outline?
You're so like Parker. Maybe that's part of it. If Parker were a guy or we were both gay, we'd be married. Which would mean I'd never have to date again. My annoyance thereof, the key cause for the sexual moratorium, and very likely this conversation.
Do you want to hear the outline?
Yes, but I'm passing on the quiz that follows.
We give it a month.
Give what a month?
The adjustment. Seeing each other this way. We go out, stay in, have conversations, socialize, engage in recreational activities. We date. Like people do when they're easing into a different dynamic. And given the tribal connection, and given what I assume is a mutual desire to limit potential damage to our current connection,
now who's the lawyer?
Given that,
he went on,
though it gives me no pleasure, literally, we continue the sexual moratorium.
You'd also be in a sexual moratorium?
Fair's fair.
She switched from beer to water. We do all the stuff normal, consenting, unattached adults do with each other, but no sex. With each other or anyone else?
That's the idea.
For 30 days.
Don't remind me.
Why the 30?
It's a reasonable timeline for both of us to determine if we want to take it to the next step. It's a big step, Laurel. You matter too much to me to rush it.
Dating's harder than sex.
He laughed. Who the hell have you been dating? I'll try to make it easy for you. How about we catch a movie after the event on Sunday? Just a movie.
She angled her head. Who picks the flick?
We'll negotiate. No tearjerker.
No horror.
Agreed.
Maybe you should draw up a contract.
He took the dig with a shrug. If you've got a better idea, I'm open.
I don't have any idea. I never thought we'd get to a point where I would need an idea. How about we just sleep together and call it even?
Okay.
When her mouth dropped open, he grinned.
I not only know you, but I know a bluff when I hear one.
You don't know everything.
No, I don't. I think that's part of it, and I guess we'd better take some time and find out. I'm in if you are.
She studied the attractive and familiar face, the calm eyes, the easy posture. We'll probably want to murder each other half the time.
That won't be anything new. In or out, Laurel?
In. She offered a hand to close the deal.
I think this calls for more than a handshake.
But he took her hand, used it to draw her to her feet along with him.
Plus, we should see what it's like when neither of us is irritated.
A little frisson, as much anticipation as nerves, jittered up her spine. Maybe I am.
No. No little crease here.
He skimmed a fingertip between her eyebrows.
Dead giveaway.
Wait, she said when he ran his hands down her arms. Now I'm self-conscious. It's no good if I'm thinking too much and... He shut her up, drawing her in and up to brush his lips over hers in slow, soft sweeps.
Or...
she murmured, and let her hands glide up from his shoulders until her arms could link around his neck.
More surprises, he thought, when there was warmth and exploration instead of just heat and impulse.
Sweet and easy, wrapped in layers of the familiar and the new. He knew her scent, her shape, but the taste of her, ripe and seductive, merged what was into what might be. He took his time, drawing it out, drawing her in, to savor the new mix of sensations. She poured herself into it, taking every ounce of the moment she'd imagined dozens of times. A dying day, soft lights, the quiet sigh of a summer breeze. Foolish fancies of a young girl's crush, longings transformed over time into a woman's need. Now the fancies were real, the longings met, and in the kiss she felt his need rise with hers. Whatever happened, this moment, this dying day, would always be hers. When their lips parted, he stayed close.
How long do you think that's been in there?
He wondered.
Hard to say.
Impossible to tell him.
Yeah.
He touched his lips to hers again, testing, stirring, then deepening until they were both breathless.
I'd better go get your shoes.
Okay.
But she pulled him back, ratcheting up the heat, groaning with it when his hands stroked down her sides to grip her hips. He teetered on the edge, but made himself pull back.
Shoes,
he managed.
Free the hostages. You really need to go. Home.
Stirred and shaken, she leaned back against the deck rail.
I told you dating's harder than sex.
We don't shirk from challenges. You've got some lips. I always liked the look of them. I like them even better now.
They curved.
Come over here and say that.
Better not. I'll be back in a minute with the shoes.
She watched him go and thought it was going to be a really long month. Sneaking back into the house should be, by all the odds, simpler than sneaking out. Carter and Mac would be tucked into their place, Emma and Jack in theirs. Mrs. G would either be watching TV in her cozy apartment with her feet up and a pot of her evening tea, or out with some cronies. Parker? Probably still working, but in her own suite and in comfortable clothes. Laurel parked, reassured by the lights in the studio and guest house. She just wanted to get into her own space, alone, and think about everything that happened, everything that had changed, or started to change, tonight. Her lips still tingled from his, her skin still hummed. She could all but dance to the tune. If she'd kept a diary, she'd cover today's page with little hearts and flowers. Then rip it out and tear it up, because that was embarrassing. But still, she'd do it. Smiling at the idea, she let herself into the house, carefully and quietly locked up behind her. She didn't exactly tiptoe up the stairs, but it was close.
Are you just getting in?
She didn't scream, but that was close, too. Whirling, Laurel gaped at Parker, then sat down hard on the steps before she tumbled.
Jesus Christ! Jesus, you're scarier than a Rottweiler. What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Parker waved the carton in her hand. I went down for a yogurt, and I'm going up to my room. What are you doing, sneaking up the steps?
I wasn't sneaking. I was walking. Quietly. You have yogurt in the little fridge upstairs.
I'm out of blueberry. I wanted blueberry. Do you mind?
No, no. God.
Laurel took a ragged breath, patted her heart.
You just scared the crap out of me.
This time, Parker pointed with her spoon. You have guilty face.
I do not.
I'm looking at it. I know guilty face when I'm looking at it.
I'm not guilty. Why should I be guilty? I don't have a curfew, do I, Mom?
See, guilty.
Okay, put away the rubber hose.
Laurel threw up her arms in surrender.
I just went to Dell's to get my shoes.
Laurel, I can see that. You're holding them in your hand.
Right. Well, they're great shoes, and I wanted them back.
She stroked one affectionately.
He'd ordered Chinese. There were pot stickers.
Ah. Nodding, Parker walked up to sit beside Laurel.
I wasn't going to stay, but I did. So we sat out on the deck and talked about me kissing him, then him kissing me, which I didn't actually mention to you. It feels weirder talking to you about it than it does talking to him.
Get over it.
I'm working on it, aren't I? Anyway, we had to get to what do we do about it, if anything. He had an outline.
Of course. Parker smiled as she spooned up yogurt.
You'd expect that because the two of you are from the same mold. I told him if you and I were gay, we'd be married.
Parker nodded again as she ate her yogurt. I could see that.
We talked it over, and we agreed we'd see each other and do stuff that people do, except no sex.
Brows lifting, Parker licked her spoon. You're going to date but not have sex?
For 30 days. The theory being we'd know by then if we really wanted to have sex or if it's just... I know it's reasonable an adult, but we know we want to have sex now.
You take a little time first to make sure you'll still like each other, if and when you do.
Yeah, that's the sticker. There was more in there. Tribes and my legs, but the upshot was we're going to see how it goes. You're really okay with it?
Parker wrapped her knuckles lightly on Laurel's head. Of course I'm okay with it. And if I wasn't okay with it, you should tell me to go to hell and mind my own business. Want some of this yogurt?
No, thanks. Pot stickers.
But she leaned her head on Parker's shoulder.
I'm glad I didn't manage to sneak in.
Be gladder I've decided to be magnanimous and not be insulted you tried to.
Best friend ever.
It's so true, I am. He's a good man. I know he can be bossy because same mold, and I know he has flaws, but he's such a good man. She laid her hand over Laurel's briefly. He deserves you. You and I have to make a pact right now that when you need to bitch about him or he needs to bitch about you to me, that you and I handle it the way we handle any other bitching about guys. You don't feel hamstrung because he's my brother, and I don't take offense because he's my brother.
All right.
They hooked pinkies on the swear. Now I'm going up, finishing up a couple things. Parker rose. You know if you don't fill in Emma and Mac, their feelings are going to be hurt.
I'll update them.
She pushed to her feet to walk to the third level with Parker. Full disclosure, Dell decided, and made arrangements to meet Jack for a morning workout. Since the word was full, he told Jack to drag Carter along. He started off with cardio while Carter approached a treadmill with obvious trepidation.
I try to avoid doing this sort of thing in public. People could get hurt.
Start off slow, then kick it up every couple minutes.
Easy for you to say.
I've missed this place.
In solidarity, Jack took the machine on the other side of Dell.
Having the home gym right there is convenient, but you miss the group buzz. Plus, the many athletic females in skimpy outfits.
I'm engaged, but still breathing,
he said at Dell's look.
I don't understand walking on an electric belt when there are sidewalks right outside.
Gripping the bar with one hand, just in case, Carter gestured vaguely.
And they don't move under your feet.
Kick it up, Carter. Snails are passing you. How's my macadamia?
She's good.
Brow furrowed. Carter increased the speed slightly.
Staff meeting this morning, and a studio shoot. It's probably good I'm out of the way for a couple hours. You'll have your professor room before long,
Jack told him.
Then we'll move on to Emma's new space and Laurel's. Speaking of Laurel, we're dating.
He heard the oof from the left and glanced over.
You okay, Carter? Just missed my footing. By dating, you mean each other? That would be my definition. This would be my cue to jump down your throat and demand to know what you mean by taking advantage of one of my girls.
Dell shifted his gaze toward Jack as he punched up his speed.
Unlike you, I'm not sneaking around and hiding it. I wasn't sneaking and hiding. I just hadn't figured out how to explain about Emma for a short period of time. And since I'm marrying into the quartet, I have certain privileges and duties. If you're sleeping with Laurel...
I'm not sleeping with Laurel. We're dating.
Right, and the two of you are just going to hold hands, admire the moon, and sing camp songs.
For a while, minus the singing. No comments from you?
He asked Carter.
I'm kind of busy trying to stay on my feet.
To ensure he did, Carter gripped the bar one-handed again.
I guess off the top of my head, I'd say this is a quick situational change.
I thought so at first. Now I'm not so sure. Feels like it's been brewing a while.
Could have fooled me,
Jack said, punching up his speed to match Dell's pace.
How did this brewing situational change happen?
We had a fight, culminating in her telling me and demonstrating that I wasn't her brother, which I'm not. So we're dating, and I'm just letting you know.
Okay. 3 miles?
You're on. Kick it up, Carter,
Dell told him. Carter said,
Oh, God.
Sunday morning, Laurel left her kitchen work to dash upstairs for the pre-event briefing. When she found her three partners already in place, she held up a hand.
I'm not late.
And since she'd already had 2 cups of coffee that morning, grabbed a bottle of water.
Just FYI, it's raining.
The forecast calls for it to stop mid-morning, Parker stated. But we're prepared to move everything inside if it doesn't.
The arrangements are pretty simple, Emma put in. If it clears by noon, we can have everything dressed outside by 1. Otherwise, we can shift it all to the Great Hall, do a big fireplace arrangement pretty quickly, add candles. We're set either way. We'll have both suites finished by 10.
The grooms are due to arrive at 11. I'll shift back and forth for formals. Mac nodded at Parker. Both grooms have sisters standing up for them, which makes it nice. I can get some good shots with that dynamic. Doing guys means less hair and makeup time, and each has just the 1 attendant, so I should be done with the formals by 12:15. Guests arriving 12:30, short cocktail mixer. Parker read off her schedule. For the outside ceremony, we line up at 1. Attendants will walk down the aisle together, then grooms will approach from either side. Ceremony time, 20 minutes. Mac takes post pictures, caterers pass finger food. Again, it'll be pretty quick. 15 minutes should do it. Figure 1:45 for the grooms to be announced, buffet brunch, toasts. DJ announces first dance at 2:30, cake cutting 3:30. All the pastries are done for the dessert table. I'll finish the cake by 10 and we'll move it into the ballroom. We're providing the knife and server. The happy couple has requested the top layer be removed and boxed for them to take home.
Okay.
Dancing continues at 3:40 until 4:15. We'll transfer the gifts, announce the last dance. We're clear at 4:30. Any concerns, potential disasters?
Not on my end. They're both really cute and should photograph well.
They went with big, happy geranium boutonnieres to match the cake, Emma added. Pretty adorable.
They wrote the script for the ceremony themselves. Parker tapped her file. It's incredibly sweet.
We're going to have a lot of crying.
Laurel, anything on your end?
I just need the cake topper from Emma and I'm good.
It's done and in the cooler. I'll get it to you.
Then we're all good.
Not so fast.
Mac shot out a finger as Laurel started to rise.
Business completed. Now let's get personal. What's the latest with Dell?
There is no latest. I just saw you 8 hours ago.
He didn't call?
Emma wondered.
Leave you a message or anything?
He sent an email with a list of potential movies for tonight.
Oh.
Emma struggled not to look deflated.
That's considerate.
It's practical, Laurel corrected. And it's Dell. It's me. I'm not looking for charming little notes and sexy little messages.
They're fun, though,
Emma murmured.
Jack and I send each other lots of sexy little emails. We still do.
What are you wearing? Mac demanded.
I don't know. It's the movies. Something movie-ish.
But he'll be dressed for the wedding, Emma pointed out. So you can't be too casual. You should wear the blue top, the one with the scoop neck that ties in the back. It looks great on you. With the white capris I wish I could wear but would make my legs look stumpy. And the kitten heel slides.
Okay, thanks for dressing me.
Happy to help,
Emma said with a bright smile that acknowledged the sarcasm.
We have a betting pool going,
Mac informed her.
Nobody figures you'll last the full 30 before you get naked. Carter gives your willpower the most credit with 24 days.
You're betting on when I'm going to have sex with Dell?
Damn right.
You're disqualified, she said when Laurel started to speak again.
Conflict of interest.
I give you 16 days, not because of willpower and stubbornness, in case that might influence you to help me add to my wedding fund.
Unfair, unfair,
Emma caroled.
How much is in the pool?
We kicked in 100 each.
500, seriously?
6, counting Mrs. G.
Man. We started at $10 each.
Emma shrugged and chose a strawberry to nibble on. But then Mac and Jack kept challenging each other. I had to make them stop when we hit 100. Parker's keeping the bank. Laurel cocked a challenging eyebrow.
What if we have sex and don't tell anyone?
Please.
Mac just rolled her eyes.
First, you'd never be able to keep it to yourself, and second, even if you did, we'd know.
I hate when you're right, and nobody gave us the full 30?
No one.
Okay, here's the deal. I should get some say since it's my sex, potentially. I will not be disqualified. I put in 100, and if we get to the 30, pot's mine. Objections broke out, but Parker waved them off. You know, that's fair.
You know how competitive she is, Mac complained. She'll hold out just to win the bet.
Then she'd have earned it. Get me the 100 and I'll add your bet. You're on. Gleefully, Laurel rubbed her hands together.
At long, long last, the sexual moratorium pays off. I've got a cake to frost.
She did a quick boogie at the door.
See you later, suckers.
We'll see who's the sucker, Parker said after Laurel danced out. Okay, ladies, let's get to work.
Chapter 8.
It was strange and interesting to go out with Dell as a date, rather than one of the group. Comfortable on many levels, Laurel discovered, which was probably good. Neither of them had to listen to the other's life story, because they already knew each other's life story. Not the whole cake, she thought, but most of the layers, which made it all the more fun to take samples of the filling. She knew he'd served on the law review at Yale, and played baseball as an undergraduate, just as she knew that law and sports were two of his passions. But she hadn't known he'd made a deliberate choice over which to pursue as a career.
I didn't know you were serious about professional baseball.
The things you learned, Laurel reflected, on a third date.